Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. So thankful that you're here in the sanctuary this morning, lifting up the name of Christ in whom we have salvation, forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life. If you are here, please sign in on the booklets. Let us know you are. If you're a visitor, give me some information like a cell phone number or an email, and I'll be in touch this coming week if you'd like me to do so. That'd be wonderful. Welcome to those on KXRB as well. Just a reminder, we're here every Sunday morning at 10:05. Please tune us in when you have opportunity, and welcome to those on the live stream this morning as well. Good to have you via the internet. We continue on in our series, Genesis chapter 39 and 41. We transition to Joseph today. Also, All Saints Day, so we'll be naming those dear saints here at Zion that have gone before us and have found their heavenly room, which is a wonderful thing, so we stand with those families this day as well. Well, the announcements then that we have before you coming up on the screens, just a reminder of Arden Waugh, passed away last Sunday. There'll be a visitation today at Miller Westside, that's Miller Westside Chapel, from 1 to 3 p.m. and a prayer service at about 2:30 p.m. His funeral will be right here at Zion tomorrow at 11 a.m. Next announcement, the Zion Lutheran Food Drive starts today and runs through November 23rd. We'll ask that you bring baby child food items this week, canned fruits and vegetables the week of May 9th, canned tuna, chicken the week of the 16th, and pasta sauce and pasta and sauces and mac and cheese the week of the 23rd. These are the items most in need right now at area food banks. Next announcement, Families in Faith invites you to the soup showdown today after the late service. Bring a roaster or crock pot of your favorite soup to share. You'll get a sample of each variety and then have an opportunity to vote for your favorite. Everyone is welcome. Even if you don't bring soup, please come and attend and cast your vote and have some soup and fellowship. Bread, crackers, and extra soup will be provided. The next announcement, please plan to join us on Wednesday night for Bible studies, children activities, choir, and supper, of course, in the atrium from 5:30 to 6:15. The menu this week includes ham, scalloped potatoes, and veggies. Next Sunday, make sure to join us as we honor our veterans and first responders at a brunch starting at 8:45 over in the atrium. All the proceeds of the free will offering for that brunch we'll go to the Midwest Honor Flight, and we'll also see a video of mission number 11, where our own John Kritzmeier was on that flight. So that'll be happening as well next Sunday. And then finally, copies of the 2026 proposed budget are available on the back table with the black cloth of the sanctuary. And then, note, we'll have a question and answer on that budget before the Bible study on the 16th in the atrium. And then our annual meeting will be the following Sunday between services during the Bible study hour on the 23rd. And then, one that's not on there, just a note that announcement sheets with everything I've just said are available in the back of the sanctuary as well. You can pick one of those announcement sheets up and take it home and have everything and more of what I've just announced. Well, once again, so wonderful to have you here this Sunday. Let's rise, greet one another in our love and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome and a joyous good morning to you from all of us here at Zion Lutheran Church. Please join the congregation as we sing our opening hymn, For All the Saints, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 677, verses 1 through 3.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are made saints by the blood of Jesus. We acknowledge, however, that we remain sinners in thought, word, and deed. Let us then confess our sins with the saints around us and before our forgiving God. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Holy God, you have called us to obey you in all things and to live according to your commands. We have failed to be obedient, even though you have set us apart to be holy. We have been sinful in our thoughts, words, and actions. We confess our faults and seek your cleansing forgiveness. Saints of God, know that even as you confess your sins, you are forgiven by our God, the Holy One who has called you to be holy. As a called and ordained servant of the Word and in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our intro at this morning is Psalm 51 and is responsive. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with a religious spirit.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. We praise you, O God, for sending Jesus to live, die, rise, and return to you so that we can be united with you. We thank you for those who have gone before us and have passed your word onto us. Unite us by your Spirit in our witness so that we may be one as you are one. In the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we have our time in the Word.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Our time in the Word, the children's reading is taken from page 70. Everyone must obey Joseph. The man sitting down behind the horse is Joseph. All the people are nice to him. They like Joseph. Why do all the people like him? It is because the king has made Joseph his most important helper. Now everyone must do what Joseph says, or else the king will punish them. Joseph tells everyone that he listens to God and obeys him. Genesis chapter 41. Please, God, help me always to obey you in Jesus and through Jesus. The reading for the day is taken from Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 through 23, and chapter 41, verses 9 through 49. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today, I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dreams. And the things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the man was impaled, the other man. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, went out of the river, came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. And after them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked so ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. And after them, seven others had sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream." Then the seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows, it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all of Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephaniah-Paneah and gave him an Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentiful. Joseph collected all the food produced in all those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join the congregation as we sing our sermon hymn, "Sing with All the Saints in Glory," from the Lutheran Service Book, number 671.
Thank you.
Pastor Greg Lehrer is now entering the pulpit to deliver today's message.
Well, that was a difficult one, wasn't it? Not quite the way a guy wants to come into his message. Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I said, we're moving on into the story of Joseph in our series, and the story of Joseph, the account of Joseph, culminating in his rise to power and the salvation of his family, it provides us a powerful testament to the unwavering providence and the unwavering grace of God. Our focus verses this morning, Genesis chapter 39, verse 20 to 23, and then chapter 41, verses 9 to 49. These verses take us from the darkness of an Egyptian prison all the way to the pinnacle of Pharaoh's court. So my big idea of the message today is God works good in the dungeon and the palace. But the central theme of Genesis 39 and Genesis 41 is this, and you see it on the board, the Lord was with Joseph. That's the theme, the Lord was with Joseph. And this phrase, the Lord was with Joseph, is repeated like a refrain in the reading. And as we think about those words, the Lord was with Joseph, I believe is the heart of the Christian understanding of God's work in our lives. It's all about his presence, it's all about his undeserved favor, and it's all about his sovereign will in our lives. Joseph's situation in the king's dungeon, as we heard in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20 to 23, as far as I can see, is one of profound injustice. He was betrayed by his brothers, if you remember. He was sold into slavery by them. And then, for resisting temptation and upholding God's moral law, he finds himself falsely accused and thrown into prison. And not just prison, but he's thrown into the king's dungeon. So let's just back up a little bit and get some context here to Genesis 39, verse 1 to 19. And find out how Joseph found himself in the king's dungeon. Again, if you remember, he was sold into slavery. He's bought by a man named Potiphar. He's an officer of Pharaoh. He's the captain of the guard. And God is with Joseph. He's making him successful in everything that he does. So what happens? Potiphar entrusts Joseph with the management of his entire household and all of his possessions. But Potiphar's wife takes notice of Joseph. He's a handsome young dude, and repeatedly urges him to sleep with her. But Joseph says no. He refuses, and he knew that it would be great wickedness and also against God and also against Potiphar. But one day then, Joseph is alone with his wife. She grabs his coat. You know the story. And he flees and runs away, and he leaves the coat behind, and she uses the coat then as false evidence, claiming Joseph tried to assault her. And she uses this coat then to stir up Potiphar, and he is enraged with anger, and then he throws Joseph into jail where the king's prisoners were bound. That's why he finds himself in the king's dungeon. He's a righteous man, Joseph. Who's trying to do good. The world often equates faithfulness with immediate prosperity, but we see in the story and account of Joseph here that that's a difficult reality. The verses, however, immediately shift our focus from Joseph's horrible circumstances being thrown in the dungeon to God's steadfast loyalty on the screen. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love, and granted him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So taking a little sidestep here, our perspective, the Christian perspective on suffering then, is forged in what we call the theology of the cross. And what the theology of the cross does is it rejects the idea that suffering means that God has abandoned us, or somehow God is punishing us for some hidden sin. Joseph prison serves as a profound illustration of the hiddenness of God's work. It's a profound illustration of the hiddenness of God's work. At all outward appearances, Joseph's life was a disaster, right? Yet the Bible, this biblical text, pulls back the curtain, if you will, to reveal that God was not only present, but he was actively working. Because in Genesis chapter 39, verse 21, the Hebrew word translated steadfast love is chesed. You can see it up there on the screen. I don't want to get into it too much. I gave you the Hebrew word, the English transliteration, and then what it means in the English. Chesed, it's just kind of fun to say. You got to get that thing going in your throat. But know that this word chesed, as you see on the screen before you, it's a very rich, rich, deeply theological term in the Hebrew. What this word signifies is God's covenant. God's covenant. God's covenant loyalty. God's covenant mercy. God's covenant love. Even down there in that deep, dark dungeon, Joseph is experiencing chesed. And this reminds us that God's love is not conditional upon our comfort. It's not conditional upon our visible success, but it is a covenant rooted in his character. So for us today, dear friends, the same chesed, steadfast love, is poured out fully and finally for you and I in Jesus Christ, who suffered the ultimate injustice, right? On the cross. And then not only rose, but rose 3 days later alive out of the tomb. Again, pulling back that curtain, if you will, to reveal that God was not only present, but God was actively working. We look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 23 on the screen. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now the text says, basically, whatever Joseph did, it was successful. And know for sure that this success is not freedom. What this success is in this text, it's being faithful. It's being diligent. It's being trustworthy as a steward in the midst of his imprisonment. Here is also for us an example of the concept of vocation. It's what we call what we do in our work and what we do in our relationships and how we operate in our circle of influence, all the relationships that we have. So no matter how menial or how constrained, there is a place that God is working. He's calling you to serve your neighbor or, again, to serve that circle of influence here. And we see that here in this example of vocation. How? Well, Joseph is a prisoner. And what did he do? He served his fellow prisoners. He served the jailer. And he did it with such excellence that the jailer entrusted everything to him. His success was his character and his faithfulness to God, not his worldly position. And I think that's a vital lesson for us today. God is at work in us, dear friends. God is refining our character. He is sanctifying us, even and especially when we are walking through a valley of the shadow of death. Understanding this theology of the cross, and as we understand and grasp that term of the theology of the cross, I think it helps explain why Joseph's deep faithfulness occurred in the cross of the prison. A place of hidden work, a place of hidden suffering, all done before he was exalted to the glory of the palace. God seems to use the low places to bring about his mighty plan, does he not? So as we move then to Genesis chapter 41, We need to look at verse 1 right away. We didn't read it from the lectern. But Joseph now, in chapter 41, verse 1, has been in prison for 2 years after interpreting the cupbearer's dream. So what this does for me, and I hope it does for you too, this waiting highlights the trying patience required of us faithful people. Right? But don't forget, God's timing is perfect as we are waiting. The forgotten cupbearer, he finally remembers Joseph at this very important moment, right when Pharaoh needed it most. Genesis 41, verse 9 to 13, it's popping up on the screen. It reads, "Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, 'I remember my offenses today. I remember what I forgot.'" "When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew, Joseph, he was there with us. He's a servant of the captain of the guard. Why? Because everything he did was successful, so the guard put him in charge of everything. And when he told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream, and as he interpreted to us, so it came about." Makes me think about the Christian life. The Christian life is not a straight line from promise to fulfillment. The Christian life is often full of detours, delays, and even forgotten moments. Joseph was a man with a clear prophetic destiny, those dreams that he interpreted, right? Yet the fulfillment of his destiny wasn't hindered by a rival. It wasn't hindered by a jailer. It was hindered by a simple human failure. Forgetfulness. The cupbearer forgot. For 2 years, Joseph remained in that dungeon, in that silence. But hear this, God wasn't absent. God was preparing him. He wasn't just preparing a job for Joseph, don't you see? He was preparing Pharaoh as well, the key to his promotion. He was preparing Egypt, the kingdom that needed to be saved. He was preparing Joseph's brothers, the family, to be reconciled. Joseph's vocation, back to that word, during this time in the dungeon was simply to wait faithfully. God's timing is not slow. God's timing is sovereign. And what happened here is this delay ensured that when Joseph finally spoke, he was not just some clever interpreter like the magicians. No, he was a man of proven, stable character. It ensured his arrival was not some miraculous intervention. It was not just some lucky break, but giving all to glory of God. Again, on the screen, Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Not in him. God's going to answer. And if you're in a season where a promised door has not yet opened, maybe where you feel forgotten by people, or maybe an outcome seems frustratingly slow, remember Joseph. Just remember Joseph. What God is doing is he's using this waiting time to develop your character. He's perfecting you with these external circumstances for his greatest glory. That 2 years of Joseph in the dungeon wasn't wasted time, don't you see? They were necessary. Refining part of his hidden perfect plan. The concept of vocation or a calling is central to our Lutheran theology. Ultimately, it's the idea that God is hidden at work in the world through everyday tasks, relationship, and stations of life. I put it up on the screen for you. That's our view of vocation. Joseph's transition from the dungeon to delivery, it went fast. It's breathtakingly fast. He brought before Pharaoh. Joseph immediately deflects all glory. Again, what does he say? It's not me, Pharaoh. It's God who's going to give you the answer. And for me, this humble confession is the key. It's the key. Why? Because Joseph understood that he is just merely a tool, if you will, in the hands of the ultimate sovereign. The interpretation of the dream, the wise plan for the famine, aren't Joseph's brilliance. They are the gift and the purpose of God himself. Joseph's rise and Joseph's rule is a powerful picture of how God uses the ordinary, dear friends. How God even can use the broken to accomplish extraordinary, world-saving purposes. Joseph's entire plan in Genesis 41, verse 34 to 36, to appoint overseers, to gather the excess grain, to distribute it in the famine. Don't you see what this is? It's an act of service to the Egyptian people, the nation, and it's also in a work for his entire family. It demonstrates for us the, if you will, the law of God in action. Let's call it that. A call to be wise, a call to be just, a call to be diligent as we serve each other in our circle of influence, especially in this place. And God then exalts Joseph, not for his self-glory, but he does so he can fulfill his vocation in doing what? In preserving life. And as the scripture says later in Genesis, he saved the whole world through his plan. On the screen, you, Joseph, shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regard the throne will be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And ultimately then, the story of Joseph really points us to the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ. So the question that I've been asking through this fall is, where is Christ in the Old Testament? Where is he in this text? Well, the entire arc of Joseph's life, if you will, from being rejected to being exalted as the savior of his family, serves as a magnificent foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, a true and greater son. Think about it. Joseph was betrayed and sold by his own brothers. Christ was betrayed by his own people. Joseph descended into the pit of a prison. Jesus descended into the pit of death and hell. Joseph was raised up to save the world from a famine. Christ was raised up to save the whole world from sin and eternal death. For us, the gospel truth of Joseph's story is found in the eventual confession that he makes to his brothers on the screen. Genesis 50, verse 20. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So through Jesus, God has worked the greatest good out of the greatest evil, using the suffering and the death of the cross to bring about salvation of the world. Because Jesus died, he suffered, he rose from the dead. You and I are forgiven. We're assured that all things, even our sufferings, even our setbacks, even our dungeons, will work together for good for those who love God. Romans 8, 28. So this, dear friends, is the grand summary of God's providence, a perspective of faith that sees God's hand at work even through human wickedness, even through human misfortune, even through human dungeons. Our suffering is not meaningless. Your suffering is not meaningless. God is using to shape you, to position you into circumstances where you can bring glory to God and to secure your own salvation in Jesus Christ. You and I are called to trust the faithful God that he always has been, that he always will be, just as Joseph did, whether we're in the dungeon of despair or we're in the palace of prosperity. God's sovereign purposes prevail, you see. He orchestrates the events. He will achieve his will, which is always for the good of the people and to advance his kingdom. He brings life out of death just as he brought Joseph out of the prison and Christ out of the grave. Joseph's story is the assurance that no matter how difficult your current detour, your current dungeon may be, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. His purposes are being accomplished. And your true ultimate promotion to eternal life is already secured in Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we'll rise together then and confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We'll collect our tithes and offerings at this time. The children's treasure box is up here. If they want to walk their offering up, that'd be great. Remember the prayer request cards right in the pew racks. Jot down your prayer request and drop it in the offering tray. That'd be wonderful. Ushers, come forward, and we have the Zion Adult Choir to sing to us during the offering time.
The Zion Choir today will be singing Ancient Words.
Thank you.
Holy Scripture says in Psalm 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." On this All Saints Sunday celebration, we remember and give thanks and praise to God for the life and for the death of his saints. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and that includes rejoicing with those whose happiness now knows no end in the kingdom of glory. During the past year, families in our congregation and our extended church family have been impacted greatly by the death of ones we love. As those who trust in Jesus Christ, we do not grieve as the rest of the world grieves. We grieve in hope, we pray with confidence, and we live with certainty that those who have died in Christ are secure in his presence. We also rejoice that one day we shall join them in their heavenly joy, which knows no end. We honor the life and give thanks to God for those his saints. Darlene Woolman, Elsie Wagner, Delmar Titzy, Michael Leba, Lois Jones, Ken Schmuck, Betty Marty, Evelyn Meyer, Arlen Dutch Tesla, Arlene Wellgraven, Dean Hammond, Odd Mulbakken, Arden Wog, and all other dear to our heart who have entered into everlasting rest with the Lord Jesus, let us pray together. Merciful Father, whose dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, rose victoriously over death and the grave, we remember with thanksgiving your faithful people who have trusted in Christ, whose tears are gone and whose sorrows have been turned to joy. We humbly implore you to strengthen us in the confident hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed are you, O God, and blessed are those whom you have redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, washed in the saving water of baptism, and brought to faith by the Spirit. Keep us in this faith and in holy fear, lest we depart from your way and are lost to the eternal future you have prepared for us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all power and might are yours forever and ever. Give wisdom to our president, our governor, and all who make and administer and judge our laws. Allow them to serve with honor and let their decisions be well-pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, remember the sick, the homebound, those who mourn, especially the Wog family this day, and all the afflicted, especially those that we name silently in our hearts at this time. Strengthen them to endure in their suffering, and in your compassion, keep them in the true faith until the day of final deliverance, health, and peace comes. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, bless all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that in faithfulness they may approach the altar, trust the words of Christ, and receive his body and blood for the sustenance of their bodies and souls. Lord, in your mercy. Standing with those in every tribe and nation before the throne and before the Lamb, we rejoice and cry out, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. To him be the glory with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." And now this eating and drinking of the body and blood of your Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast of the early morning worship service of Zion Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. If you have no regular church home, we want to invite you to be our guests at our Sunday services. Traditional worship is held at 8 a.m. and contemporary worship is held at 10:30. Our educational hour with classes for all ages is at 9:15. Zion Lutheran Church is located one block west of Minnesota Avenue at 22nd and Spring and is affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If these broadcasts have been a blessing to you, we would appreciate your prayers and support. Our mailing address is Zion Lutheran Church, 1400 South Duluth Avenue, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 57105. Or visit us online at ZionLutheranSF.com and find us on Facebook and on YouTube. Thank you for listening and for your support in this ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's blessings to each of you. Until next week, this is Jeff Layton wishing you the blessings of God's grace in Christ Jesus.